Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title real quick.
Richard DeLaurier, I go by Rick.
And of course, you're a former FBI special agent and taking part into a really, really cool event. It's going to be down at the National Law Enforcement Officers Museum down in D.C. It'll be on April 26th. And it's a big celebration of, well, not only the movie Pagers Day, but all the heroic work you all did in response to the tragic, Boston Marathon bombing back in 2013. Gosh, can you believe it's almost been 10 years? That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 10 years, Jason. Every year when the marathon hasn't been run the last 2 years because of the pandemic, but it is being run as we speak right now in Boston for the first time since 2019. And every year on Patriots Day, which is the third Monday in April, as a state holiday in Massachusetts, I think of the 2013 Boston Marathon and the tragedy of that day and the horror of that day and what the victims went through. And it's a very meaningful day, and it will be every year for the rest of my life.
Oh, it was a totally remember where you were moment. I still remember being, I was before I started doing this entertainment gig, I was a writer in the newsroom when that breaking news happened. Everyone will remember where they were when that happened. It was so, so tragic. Well, I want to get into, all of that, everything that you did in response to the actual crime and the manhunt, everything. But let's start with the actual fun stuff, the event. So it's going to be at the National Law Enforcement Museum. And it's going to be, who else is going to be? It's going to be three panelists. Explain who's going to be joining you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jason. First, Ed Davis, the former Boston Police Commissioner, who was played in the movie Patriots Day by the actor John Goodman. Ed will be there. I've worked for a long time with Ed. Ed and I grew to be friends when I was SAC of the Boston office of the FBI, and he was Boston Police Commissioner. We worked very well, and I think that our partnership, along with many other partnerships that each of us had, contributed to the solving the Boston Marathon bombing so quickly. The second dignitary who will be joining me and Ed is former Watertown Police Sergeant Jeff Pugliese, who was played by J.K. Simmons in the movie Patriots Day. And Jeff, he's lucky to be alive with us right now with what he went through and his officers, Joey Reynolds and John McClellan, went through on the streets of Watertown, Massachusetts on the evening of Thursday, April 18th, 2013, when they took on the Zarniah brothers, who were armed with a handgun and with pipe bombs that they were hurling at the Watertown officers. Jeff is a real hero, and it's an honor to be sharing the stage with him on the 26th.
And then, of course, you mentioned it was, Ed Davis was played by John Goodman and Jeff Pugliese. Have you said Pugliese?
Pugliese, yeah.
Pugliese was played by J.K. Simmons. I mean, two awesome actors. But remind us who another big famous actor played you in the movie. So remind us who that was and what it was like being played by Kevin Bacon.
Yes, it was quite an absolute honor to be represented by Kevin in the movie. And it was an honor and a thrill to collaborate with him as the movie was being filmed. I met with him in Boston in April of 2016 when the movie was being filmed at that time. And I shared about a 2 or 3 hour luncheon with him. And he couldn't have been a greater gentleman, very unpretentious, shattered my preconceptions of Hollywood movie stars. He was a joy to spend time with. And he told me that when he portrays a real life person in a movie, he wants to sit down with them. He wants to talk with them. He wants to observe them, learn their mannerisms, their walk, how they dress, their family background, their educational background. And Kevin did that with me that afternoon. And I think he really nailed me well in the movie. He walked just like me in the movie. He talked just like me in the movie. And he wore the same clothing that I wore during the bombings. And so he really did a fabulous job. It was a pleasure to work with, as was Mark Wahlberg. I had an opportunity to meet Mark Wahlberg on a few occasions during the production and rollout of the movie. And he was an absolute gentleman as well.
Yeah, it must be eerie seeing someone create yourself so accurately, walking and talking like you. Well, you meant so good on Kevin Bacon. Well, yeah, you mentioned Mark Wahlberg too. I mean, he's obviously the main character in Patriots Day. He played Tommy Saunders. I remember reviewing the movie when it came out, but I'm trying to remember. Was he like a composite of several different real people?
Yes, Jason. He was a composite of, well, I think he generally represented a Boston police sergeant in the movie who was very actively involved in the investigation that week. So I'm not sure whether that was an exact representation like Kevin Bacon represented represented me and J.K. Simmons and John Goodman represented Jeff Pugliese and Ed Davis. But it was a composite representation of a Boston police sergeant who contributed significantly to the investigation that week.
Right. Well, when you make a movie, yeah, you need that protagonist, and you can have a little bit of creative license, I guess, with your character, as long as the rest of the facts, you know, all check out and the other surrounding characters. So that's basically the approach they did. And it was a thrilling movie. I do remember it coming out. Peter Berg directed it. Him and Mark Wahlberg have done a ton of movies together lately. But by the way, our listeners, we should tell them that if you did. If you've never seen the movie Patriot's Day, A, what are you waiting for? Get on it. But B, the museum, the law enforcement museum, had a couple screenings, I guess, this past week of the movie to get everyone, you know, primed and ready for this panel discussion on the 26th. But if you did miss it, you can find it. It's streaming all over the place, Google Play and Amazon, Apple. I mean, you can find it all over the place. So highly recommend seeing it before you head out here. So, you know, you can know what all these gentlemen are talking about. So tell me about this actual event then on the 26th. Is it like a panel discussion on stage where they're going to be asking you about both the movie and the real life attack?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a reception first, I believe at 6 p.m. Jason, and then there's going to be it'll be a meet and greet reception where we mingle with the audience and chat a little bit informally, and then there'll be a formal panel presentation after that where we'll take questions and discuss the bombing and discuss our outtakes of the bombings. And so I think it'll be a great event. It'll be relaxed. It'll be friendly. It'll be engaging, personally engaging. And I think all your listeners, all WTOP's listeners would enjoy being there that evening.
Absolutely. Do you know who's moderating the panel?
I'm not quite sure right now who's the actual moderator. It might be Charles Fulcher at the National Law Enforcement Officers Museum, but it will be sponsored by them. It will be at that location. And then the museum, for those of your listeners who haven't had a chance to see it, it's a really just a beautiful location. It's a very solemn location where you see thousands of names engraved on in stone of deceased law enforcement officers who have died in the line of duty. And it's just a tremendous location for this event.
Yeah, I believe it's down by like Judiciary Square area. Is that right?
It is correct. It's down in Judiciary Square area, located near the National Museum there. And between FBI heads, not far from FBI headquarters and really not far from the Washington field office of the FBI, which sits between the museum and Capitol Hill. And it's a very, very nice area.
Yes, if you hop off the Judiciary Square Metro, it's the way to get there. But yeah, you know, it's down by the National Archives and the Navy Memorial, all that stuff downtown.
Exactly.
If you could even hit a restaurant over on Penn Quarter, you know, Gallery Place area, and come on down, whatever, make an evening of it on the 26th.
Very, very close to the Penn Quarter, yes, and all the entertainment options there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really cool event. And we've hit sort of the movie element of it pretty hard with all the different, you know, famous actors playing you all. But if you have a second before we run, I'd love to go back into, you know, a chronological, you know, memories of just that whole horrific event. Like we said, sure. We all remember how, you know, where we were and stuff. There we are, Boston Marathon. It's run every year. It's this traditional thing. And on April 15, 2013, no one knew that, you know, explosions would go off right pretty close to the finish line there. Explain where you were and how you heard about it.
Sure, Jason. I was in my office in Boston at the Boston FBI office listening to a presentation that afternoon by a professor from Boston College talking about prosecuting Nazi war criminals. He was an expert in that area. And as he was finishing up the presentation, my BlackBerry went off and it said, two explosions near the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And I looked at that and I said, oh my word, I didn't know what to expect. Certainly it was a shock. I didn't know anything about the explosions, but I walked down to my office and turned on the TV in my office to see what was going on. And as I was walking down there, Ed Davis called me on my BlackBerry. He said, Rick, we've had two large explosions near the finish line of the Boston Marathon. We have many, many injuries. Send your SWAT team and your bomb techs down here as quickly as possible. And of course I did that. And that's how I first learned of the bombings. I went down to my office and I did what anybody else would do. I turned on TV and turned on CNN and tried to understand what was going on. And at that point, the magnitude of the horror that had happened set in on me. And I knew we were dealing with a very, very serious situation. At that moment, I didn't really know we hadn't gathered enough evidence, of course, at that time, right after the bombings. The first priority was to make sure was to treat the injured and remove them from the area, and also secure the area in event that there were any other secondary devices that bomb devices down there. After that was done, we could begin collecting the evidence. And it wasn't really until the second day, that Tuesday, the day following April 16th, that we really were comfortable in saying that this was a terrorist attack based upon the evidence that we had collected at the bombing sites.
Yeah, and I know, I believe, what was it? Was it 3 days after that that the FBI finally released the images of the suspects? Because I remember, talk about that process in that span of time, in those few days after, because I'm trying to remember. I think it was like security footage and stuff. You kind of zoomed in, and was it a ball cap sure. or something?
Yeah, it was. The first video of the bombings we obtained was taken from a CCTV camera at a restaurant called the Forum Restaurant, which was on Boylston Street in Boston, and that was right at the site of the second bombing. That was the bomb that Joe Karzar and I have set off that killed Lindsay Liu and little Martin Richard. And we obtained that video, and it was a horrifying video to watch. You see people sitting in front of the restaurant on the patio there on Boylston Street enjoying the marathon. You can see the runners running by in the background, and all of a sudden this huge explosion takes place, and you see people die, and you see people grievously injured. But at that point, we were able to identify earlier in that video, we were able to identify Joe Karzarnaev as the individual who placed that bomb there. We saw him walk into this the field of the camera carrying a backpack and wearing a white baseball cap with the bill pointed forward. He stood there for about 15 minutes, then got on his cell phone. He placed the backpack down on the ground, got on his cell phone, and then about 15 seconds later, you see and feel the concussive effects of the first bomb go off, which his brother Tamerlan set at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And everybody looks in horror to the left, eastbound down Boylston Street towards the first bombing. Joe Carr immediately walks right, westbound on Boylston Street, out of the field of view of the camera. And as soon as he leaves the view of the camera, the second bomb goes off right in front of us. And it was just a horrifying to watch. But because of that sequence of events, we were able to go back farther west down Boylston Street, obtain additional video footage from other businesses along the street, which identified Tamerlan and Joe Carr walking together, both of their backpacks on. Joe Carr with his white cap pointed forward, Tamerlan with a black cap and sunglasses with a bill pointed backwards. And so early in the investigation, before we had them identified, we referred to them both as black hat and white hat. And when you obtained that video, that was the critical break in the case. And of course, it was a decision had to be made later in the week. What do we do with that video? There was an argument to be made either side. You wanted to keep the video covert to not tip off the bombers to know that you have pictures of them and hope that you develop information that would lead to their arrest. You're hoping that by keeping it covert, the bombers wouldn't flee and leave the country and possibly get beyond the long arm of American law enforcement. The corollary position was that if you don't release the videos and you have another bombing, that would be a terrible, terrible tragedy, knowing that you could have shared that information with the American public and hopefully gotten the American public's support in identifying these individuals. So after some serious discussion for a day or so, we decided that we were going to release those videos, and we released them at the Sheraton Boston Hotel at a very big press conference we did that evening on the evening of Thursday, April 18th, 2013.
So there you go. You make the decision to make the images public and try to get everyone in the area, all the American people, you know, all being eyes and ears for you, helping you out. So now the manhunt begins. Take me into the manhunt. I know, and let's break it into two, because I know, you know, Joe Carr was found later, but take me into the whole, that initial leading up, they kill MIT policeman, leading up to the shootout and ultimate, you know, killing of Tamerlan, getting run over by the car and all that.
Sure. It's always important to, there were several victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. They're in addition to the three individuals who died from the bombs. At that day, Officer Sean Collier was another individual that was murdered by Tamerlan and Joe Carr on the evening of the 18th. We believe that Tamerlan and Joe Carr was made aware of our news conference and of the photographs we had of them by some friends of his down at the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth, where Jokar was matriculating at the time. And that caused them, he and Tamerlan, to go on the run. And they already had a weapon, and they had more bombs. And they decided to try to obtain another weapon by murdering or trying to get a weapon from a law enforcement officer. They came upon Officer Sean Collier on the campus of MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. They reached in, they tried to grab his weapon. Officer Collier heroically held onto that weapon, even though he had been shot in the head by Tamerlan Jokar. And Tamerlan Jokar were not able to get his weapon, and then they fled. And they had subsequently kidnapped, carjacked an individual named Danny Meng, who was an individual, a student, I believe, at the time. And Danny was kidnapped, and when they kidnapped him, they disclosed to him that they were the ones responsible for the Boston Marathon bombing. And when Jokar and Tamerlan stopped at a gas station on Memorial Avenue in Cambridge to get some food for a trip down to New York, we believe they were intending to go down to New York and set off more bombs. They had Danny Meng escaped and was able to escape their grasp and call law enforcement, which led to Jokar and Tamerlan being observed by the Watertown police officers, Joey Reynolds and John McClellan. And they engaged him, and Jeff Pugliese joined them later on, and they engaged in a tremendous firefight where bombs were being thrown by the bombers at Jeff, John, and Joey. And they were able to shoot Tamerlan and fatally wound him. And also they took, as Jeff Pugliese wrestled Tamerlan to the ground, Jokar in one of the vehicles they had backed up over Tamerlan and just missed Jeff Pugliese. And so when Tamerlan had died from the gunshot wounds, combination of the gunshot wounds and being run over by his brother at that time. At that point, Jokar was able to escape, and he sought refuge inside a boat of an individual named David Hennebury, who lived at 67 Franklin Street in Watertown, Massachusetts. And while we were looking for Jokar the following morning, on the morning of Friday, April 19th, 2013, there was an entire shelter in place imposed upon the Eastern Massachusetts by Governor Deval Patrick. And it was really something that had never happened in this area before, where everybody was told to stay home and until we could locate the bombers. And later that day, David Hennebury walked into his backyard, saw the shrink wrap that his boat had been wrapped in for the winter blowing in the wind, and he located Jokar inside there, called law enforcement in, and the FBI, supported by its other federal, state, and local law enforcement partners, was able to take Jokar into captivity. And that's and Jokar right now was convicted of the crimes, of his terrorism crimes. He has been recently, the United States Supreme Court reimposed the death sentence that was originally imposed upon him by the trial jury. And so Jokar sits right now in the maximum security federal penitentiary in Florence, Colorado, awaiting his sentence.
So we don't know when he will be put to death?
We don't know that yet. No, I think there's still other appeals that his legal team is making right now, but the United States Supreme Court has spoken on the issue of his sentence.
Wow. Through all of after his capture and, you know, all the interrogations and you know, trials and everything, what's the closest that we know about their motive? Were they, you know, inspired by any world events? Was it just a self-radicalized thing, or what's sort of the FBI's official stance on why we think they did it?
Right. Like being retired from the FBI for the last 9 years, I can't speak on behalf of the FBI, but based upon my past experience, my belief is that they were radicalized by Anwar el-Awlaki's online publication that they accessed. And also Tamerlan had traveled to Dagestan, where we believe information was received that he might have been engaged in radicalization activities over there as well. So we believe they were self-radicalized through a combination of travels back to Dagestan, as well as accessing Anwar el-Awlaki's online publication, Inspire. And that's how they became radicalized.
Right, right. Wow. And if it wasn't for the brave actions of you and your fellow law enforcement officers, what may have happened? You mentioned they might have been going to New York. Were there? I remember reading their plans, maybe to bomb Times Square, or what else do you think might have been?
That's what we believe they were intending to do. They had additional bombs. We believe that the additional bombs that they threw at Jeff Pugliese, John McLaughlin, and Joey Reynolds that evening on the streets of Watertown, they had intended to take down to New York City and possibly bomb Times Square. So that there could have been, you know, the actions that the law enforcement team took to release that evidence and to arrest Jokar and to neutralize Tamerlan, no doubt saved additional lives.
Wow. Well, it was a harrowing real life event, and the movie Patriots Day, also a riveting watch in terms of a movie chronicling all of it as well. So everyone definitely check out Patriots Day, find it on streaming before you head to the event. And actually, while we're at it, there was another one with Jake Gyllenhaal playing one of the victims. It was called Stronger, where he lost his legs and he fights back. We interviewed Jake Gyllenhaal about that. Like, check out all the material you can, but definitely Patriots Day before you head over to the National Law Enforcement Officers Museum on April 26th for this live panel discussion Q&A. It sounds like it's going to be a really powerful event. Anything else you want to say about it before we run?
No, I think that, you know, as we approach next year, it will be the 10th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing, Jason. So I think that this will be on everybody's mind, particularly as we go into the next year. And the most important thing I want to say is we always want to reflect back upon the victims and what they went through, those who died, those who were seriously injured, many of whom suffered amputations of their legs and lower extremities. We always think about the victims, what they went through, and how strong and fearless they were in confronting their new realities. And that's one of my key outtakes from the Boston Marathon bombing investigation is always remember the victims.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that. And yeah, it was, you know, the three people killed in the bombing, as well as the, you know, the MIT policeman later. But then not to mention, it was like hundreds of people that were maimed and wounded and lives forever changed. I mean, I think that's sort of the devastating legacy of all that was all the people, I mean, that survived too, but that for lives are forever rocked by this thing.
Absolutely. And I believe there was an additional Boston police officer who succumbed to wounds that were, or either wounds or conditions that he was exposed to during the Boston Marathon bombing investigation. So, and there were, I believe, 26 individuals who suffered devastating injuries to their legs. Both backpacks were on the ground, so the injuries that most of the people experienced were to the lower extremities and legs. And so, we always remember the heroism of the victims.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, the heroism of the law enforcement officers, which is what we're going to be honoring and celebrating at this event. Again, everyone, it is at the National Law Enforcement Museum here in D.C., down by Judiciary Square. It'll be a reception panel discussion about the movie Patriots Day and the real life officers involved. It'll be on April 26th. So head over to, I believe the website is NLEOMF.org and figure out all the information. Head over there. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it, Richard.
Thank you, Jason. It's been an honor to be with you and spend some time with you and your listeners on WTOP Washington.
All right. Well, you sound like Kevin Bacon, but even better.
Okay. Thanks, Jason.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Take care. Bye. Bye.